We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're here. And how about that time of praise and worship together? Amen. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah, that was exciting. I'm just very overwhelmed in my spirit this morning. Many of you know we launched today our third service. And we started this morning bright and early at 8 o'clock. And I think we have a picture. I'm hoping we have a picture. There you go. There were 88 people in attendance this morning. And here's the amazing thing. There were as many people in that building as there was my first Sunday here as pastor 9 years ago. So that gives you some perspective. And I have to tell you, they were singing out for a bunch of 8 o'clock dwellers. I'm going to tell you. It could have been something to do with the coffee. I don't know. But we had a full worship set up there. We had children's church. We had nursery. And church, I want to thank those who have already been here bright and early this morning. Can we just thank those who kicked this whole thing off and are going to commit? Now, here's the deal. Some of us are like, yeah, 8 o'clock. And next week, we're like, I ain't doing that again. I'm coming back at 9:30, okay? Thank you, church, for loving Jesus and for wanting to move and get out of the way and make room. I was telling Pastor Micah, we're already halfway of that room's capacity after one Sunday. And so somebody said, what happens when you're full? We graduate to big church. We'll come in here. And part of the reason we've had that service over there is strategic for a lot of reasons. A lot of things happen in here on the platform, sound-wise, and we weren't able to put all of those pieces together, and Pastor Chad had an awesome idea. I think it's his best idea since he's been on staff. He said, let's do it. He knows I'm just being serious. He said, let's do it in here, and so we've been working on that, and all of the staff have been kind of coming together. If you're a guest, we want to welcome you today. If you've been coming for the last several weeks, you probably think, man, is there ever going to be a normal service at that church? When am I going to hear the preacher? Well, last two Sundays, we've had Life Action Ministry here. Today is going to be a very different service as well. Let me let you know, though, starting next week, I'm kicking off my brand new series called Experiencing the Power of God's Names. And I want to whet your appetite. We're going to talk about God's first name mentioned in the Bible in Hebrew, Elohim. And we're going to break that down and talk about what that means and how that pertains to our life. We're going to be in this series for a little while. And then starting this Wednesday night at our normal time of Bible study and worship together, our midweek service, I'm kicking off our brand new series called Ephesians, Finding Your Identity in Christ, okay? So two brand new series fixing to start. But today, when you came in, you should have been given hopefully a bulletin, and there's several inserts in there with a lot of information that we're not going to have time to tackle. You really need to avail yourself. Some of you were going around trying to find your new class today and trying to figure out where do I go. And we've tried to put a schedule in there for you so you know what's happening. Note that. And then there's a note for me and a few other things about our ladies' conference that's coming up. So please take special note of the information that you've been given. And then also you were given, hopefully, one of these, an annual report. This is not to be looked at while I preach. We're going to give you a specific time. In fact, in a few minutes, Pastor Mike is going to come up. He's going to walk us through this. I'm going to kind of platform that in a few minutes, but I want to let you know what's going on. In your bulletin, you were given the insert. On the back of that is what we call our normal handout. Those of you who like to take notes, pay attention. This is going to come at you in three segments. There'll be my first initial introduction, all right? Then Pastor Mike is going to come, so you won't be able to take notes unless you feel like taking notes during his time. Then I will come back and finish that, so you'll be able to get all of your blanks filled in and your Sunday will be complete, okay? So please note that. So we're going to walk us through that in just a minute. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Today is a very special day in the life of our church. Not only are we launching a third service, and we did launch the third service, but let me also say that we are kicking off our theme for this year as we embrace the future and we celebrate the past, our theme for this year is exalting Christ. Let's all say that together. Ready? Exalting Christ. You're going to hear a lot about this. It's going to be on our literature. We're getting some banners and things made up. We want to exalt Christ in every area of our church life. But the first place Christ needs to be exalted is in our life as individuals, because we as individuals represent the church. And all that has happened in the church, not only this past year, okay, and it's been an amazing year as we're going to see, but in the past 45 years, all of the praise and all of the glory goes to God. We are exalting Him today and throughout this entire year. And the good stuff that is happening around here is not because of the pastor, it's not because of the pastoral staff, it's not because of the extended staff or the deacons or the awesome growth group teacher or whatever it is. All the amazing stuff that has happened here in this church, not only this year, but the last 45 years, let me tell you, it's because of God. Amen. We were singing about His Son, Jesus Christ. He has been and must continue to be exalted in us and through us, His bride. And Paul reminded the church at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1, if you're there, would you say amen? Amen. We're going to look at verse 10, all right? And I'm going to read down through verse 19. He sets the tone for us and for our church. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, and giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And all of God's people said to that, amen. Amen. Powerful statement there. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and what, church?
Invisible.
Whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities, powers, all things were created by Him. And notice,
for him.
Okay? And He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. You say, well, who's going to hold it all together? Don't panic. Jesus has got it. Can I get a witness? Okay, you're like looking at the world scene. You're like, ah! God's in control. Okay? He's in control. Notice. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the, say it with me, preeminence. Your Bible might have a different word. That's great. That's fine. He might have the superiority, supreme. He is to be exalted. Why? Because look at verse 19. It pleased who? Pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. I've been a little sick this past week. My wife's been sick almost all week. And so if I have to stop and clear my throat and tickle, little tickle, you guys will forgive me, right? Just don't shake my hand after church, okay? So I want to share something with us this morning. As we plan on exalting Christ in every area of ministry in our church, and especially in our life, and as we reflect back on the highlights of our church this year, I want to warn the church. I want to give a clear warning to our church. There's two things that a church needs to be on guard about. There's two words. Ready? Compliments and criticisms. Each are their own dagger. Compliments and criticisms. Say it with me. Compliments and criticisms. And these two words remind me of two stories that were true. One reminds me of the story that I heard. This man, this pastor, was at his church. He got through preaching, gets them preaching, and this man comes running up to him and says, "Pastor, that was the absolute best message I've ever heard in my life." And of course, the pastor's like, "Well, praise the Lord, you know, thank you and appreciate it." He said, "No, wait, I'm not done." He said, "You should know, this is the best church I've ever been in my whole life." About that time, the pastor's like, "Well, you know, this is great." And as he's just basking in the glow of these compliments, suddenly a relative runs up and says, "Listen, I'm so sorry. I don't know what he said to you, but you should know he is completely a lunatic and is out on a day pass, and so ignore everything he just said to you." Right. Here's a deflation of ego, right? Also reminds me of a true story I heard about a pastor who, when service was over, he was greeting folks and shaking hands, And he went up to one man. He said, "Oh," he said, "you is this your first time? I don't know that we've met yet." By the way, in a church like ours, you should never go up to someone and say, "Is this your first time?" I just did that a little bit ago at 8 o'clock, and this couple's like, "Oh, no, we've been coming since September." I was like, "Do you guys sit in the balcony?" They're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "That's why I haven't met you yet. I love you, balcony, okay? But sometimes it's hard for me to get to you, okay?" And so he said, "Is this your first time?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, really, I'm glad you're here. I hope you enjoyed the service." And he looked at the pastor and he goes, "It was okay." He said, "Well, I hope you'll come back." He said, "I'll think on it." And then the pastor very quick-wittedly looked at the man and said, "What was it about the service you think God didn't like?" Compliments and criticism. You see, we often think that the truest test of a church's character are when things are going rough. The truest test of a church's character are when things are going really, really well. How do you deal with success? How do you deal with when God is just a blessing a church? I was floored and amazed by this. I have almost nothing to do with this. There's a letter in the front written by me. That's about it. Pastor Micah began exposing all of this detail to me and expressing to me how this was going to look. And I mean, you look at all that and you think, wow, it's not time to look at it yet. And I said, "Well, we're really doing well." Here's the danger. We need to continue on more and more. How many of you have little children, ever been around little children? Can I see your hands? Okay. If you haven't put your hand up, I'm sorry for you. What are you, mean and nasty? What, you're like, "Little kids, get away." How many of you have ever had this happen? They do this to you. "Dad." "Mom, mom, dad," right? "Dad, mom," right? Is it annoying? Soon. Not yet. A few more seconds, right? I want you to get that image in your head of that little tap. Because here's what I want us to understand. This is what God is doing to Faith Baptist Church. He's tapping us to keep doing more and more and more. Don't lose sight of that. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" Paul challenged the church in Thessalonica with a phrase. He used the words increase, continue, abound. Everybody say these words with me. More and more. More and more. More and more. That's the tap. The church at Thessalonica is the model church. If you want to see how a church should function, you look at this church. Paul said this, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound how?" Now, I just came out of an 8 o'clock service, and that was like a pathetic response, okay? So let's try that again. How you should abound how?
More and more.
More and more, okay? Tap your neighbor. Tap your other neighbor. Okay, that's the point, okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:10. "And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia." Are you catching this? This church wasn't just affecting their church. It was the community. It was the entire culture. It was the entire continent. Look at this. All the churches in Macedonia. Paul says, "Well, we beseech you, brethren, that you increase
more and more."
You guys catch what I'm saying this morning? More and more. So today, our desire is to do three things. Number one, give praise and exalt Christ. And that's what we want to do every Sunday, right? Give praise and exalt Christ. But today, especially, this is our goal. This is our heart's desire. Give praise, exalt Christ. Number two, we want to give a picture of what God has done in our church. Now, if you've ever traveled or been to anywhere cool or neat, maybe like Orlando or something, you probably took a photograph. How many of you remember actual true pictures that came out and you printed? You had to go and remember those? I have so many photos on my phone. And the cool thing is I call it biggie it up. You know, you're like, look, you can zoom in. But how many of you have ever been somewhere and you've taken a snapshot or a photograph of something and you showed it to somebody and you're like, "I want to show you this picture." And they're like, "Oh, wow, that's really pretty." And inside you're like, "It's gorgeous." And the phrase comes to mind is, you had to be there. Well, this is what we're doing today. We're showing you a picture, a snapshot. Some of you are in the picture. Your photo's in there. You just don't see it, but you were a part of it. Some of you, I'm going to encourage to get in the picture, okay? This is just a snapshot. We can't unpack everything that has happened this year, but we have tried, and really, Pastor Micah has done a magnificent job with the staff around him to show us the impact that our church has had. And it's been in three areas. Write these words down. First of all, the central impact. The central impact. The central impact speaks to our church, the internal impact of our church body, the generational impact, the family impact, the church impact. What has happened inside the walls of the church? How we have grown and what has taken place. Then number two, the local impact. How we have impacted our community, what happened outside the walls of this church, the external impact, then the eternal impact. So we have central with our church, local with our community, external, what went on, we're going to talk about that, and then number three, the global impact. And what countries were affected because of it? Not just our community, but what countries were affected? I don't want to steal any thunder from Pastor Micah, but we did more for missions this year than we ever have in the history of this church. 45 years, we did more in this one single year than we've ever done. It blew my mind when he began to show me everything that was happening. You're going to get a picture of that in a minute. Don't look, not yet, okay? And then the third thing we want to do is we want to give a plan on how we're going to continue. What are those two words?
More and more.
You say, well, this is awesome. Yeah, we want to give a plan. So to help us do this, I want to say what a joy it is to serve here in our church. To be your pastor is a privilege for me. It's been amazing. But things that happen around here don't just happen because of one man. I have an amazing staff that serve with me, and God continues to enlarge our staff, and I want to publicly thank them for the awesome job that they do. This, you can get your report out now. This report, this snapshot, this picture, okay, is largely done and put together by our associate pastor. Really, his title should be executive pastor. We're probably going to change that because that's really what he is. But this here is his brainchild. It's his baby. And so I said, you need to come show your baby off this morning. And so I've done something I've never done. I'm actually going to step aside for the next few minutes. And I'm going to invite Pastor Micah, who's been my right-hand guy for so many years, to come. Would you welcome him and thank him for the great job he's done on this?
You know, each year, I enjoy many things, kind of a little bit of a nerd in some respects with spreadsheets and numbers and metrics and all of that, but I enjoy being able to put this report together. We've done it for several years now, and it's been so fascinating to see it grow in its design and its and the numbers and in so many different ways. And over the last 12 months, we've seen God work incredibly in a lot of different ways. We're going to get a chance to share that with you now. As Pastor said, we're going to really go theme by theme and not necessarily page by page throughout this report. But we're going to be looking at all of these things. And before we do, I just want you to know, These numbers are wonderful to be able to see that, but each number represents a soul, represents a life, and each one of those lives has a story. You have a story. And each one of those stories matters to God. Matters. I want you to know it matters to us. These are not just figures. This is life that you're holding in your hands. Wonderful things that God has done. Back in November, I began meeting with Becca Sanders. Can we give her a hand for the design of this? There's a lot of folks that had a hand in this, of course, as there always is with a project of this magnitude. But I told her I wanted this annual report to be like one of the highest priorities of what we're doing, and she discovered that to be true. We just kept going back at it and back at it and back at it, and you know, with each annual report, we see the impact that we are having and the footprint that our church is continuing to leave to get larger and larger. We're going to look at these different themes in such a way that Pastor talked about a moment ago. The first thing we're going to look at is the central impact made by our church, the church family, internally, what it is that we have been able to see. Our goal is to be able to make much of the kingdom, to be able to exalt Christ in every way possible. And we praise God for what we were able to see throughout the entire year. Our average attendance last year was 580, a 3% growth from the previous year. And we had a lot of folks, had some attrition this year of people moving away and jobs and transfers and things happened. There were people who promoted to glory are no longer with us. And so there were some changes internally, but praise God, God added to his church, even with folks that are no longer with us for different reasons. And we can see that in that next bullet point. Over 300 first-time guests, recorded guests that are part of our church, over 300 of them were here. We have a transient area. There's a lot of folks that come in. Over 200 of those were just local people looking for a church home that came. 37 baptisms. Wait a minute. 90 salvations. Amen. Absolutely. And when I say 90 salvations, I'm not talking about 90 people raised their hands and we counted them. I'm talking about 90 people that we looked at eyeball to eyeball. We prayed with them. We know their name. We know their contact. We have been able to have conversation. Many of them baptized. Many of them in discipling relationships. These are 90 real people with a pulse, right? You understand. This is wonderful. 90 people. 37 people being baptized, 39 new families joining the church, and we have been able to see God do wonderful things here. We celebrated 45 years of ministry at our church, which is no small feat to do anything for 45 years, let alone in a church setting where churches are struggling, and today more than ever. We had a record number of attendance, record number of people attending at Christmas time. 1,202 people were here on Christmas weekend. It's amazing. To God be the glory, church. Amen. Let me give you a picture, paint a picture for you of what this looks like. Each Sunday, hundreds of people are coming through the doors of the church to be ministered to, and that's made possible because there are just so many different servant-minded people that are actively involved in ministry life here at church. We calculated, to the best that we could, a conservative guesstimate that it takes approximately 200 man-hours, to facilitate just weekend services, just to facilitate services, not counting ministry activity outside of services, but 200 hours just to handle services alone. And of course, this is spread out over many different people. Some are scheduled monthly, some are biweekly, some are weekly, others carry even more. All in all, there's 675 team members positions that were filled in 2016. Now, this is exciting to see this many positions being filled. Some of these positions have people that fill multiple spots. Right? We have folks that serve in 111 that are also in the nursery, that also serve in the choir. So we understand some have dual roles and juggle a few different tasks. But nevertheless, all these positions need to be filled. And you can see that we just have a small army of people that are saying, willing to commit and serve. Say, I'm going to step in and serve. Our plan going forward is to continue including people, reaching out to people, discipling people. And, you know, it's our desire to accomplish this through the ongoing missions and the development of our growth groups, being able to get people plugged into ministry, plugged into community, and being able to grow. In your growth groups and classes, in your bulletin, there's a whole list of classes that we want to be able to provide for you. We desire for our church not to only be a place where people belong, but to be a place within our growth groups where no one stands alone, where you have somewhere that you can connect, whether it be in your life group, your Sunday school class, within support groups, within Bible studies. We're offering multiple opportunities so that you don't have to do life by yourself. God doesn't want you to do it by yourself. He wants you to lock into church body life. And so this is our plan going forward. And so what we've been able to see God do centrally within our church is amazing, but then we see the local impact in the community. Somebody once posed the question, what would it be like if your church were to disappear? Would the community even know? It's quite the question to internalize. We desire to make an impact in our community, and we want to make Christ known. And we had a very express purpose going into 2016 to say we're going to make a difference in our community. And I want you to give a praise report of what we were able to do. Again, just a snapshot. We started this Upward Sports League ministry, able to impact a lot of lives. We began a ministry at a local soup kitchen, impacting lives there in our community, a 111 food pantry. We increased our efforts there, reaching out to more families in this year. Continued outreach ministries out in the community, making visits, talking to people, connecting with folks. And it's amazing. Just, I mean, I wished I could go through. Each one of these have a story that I could talk about, but I don't have time. Right. I've got all these things that we could share. I'm going to tell you, there's so many. One of the pictures we could share is Vacation Bible School. Amen. Now, Vacation Bible School is amazing. We have 266 kids that were a part of Vacation Bible School this last year. You know, we call it Vacation Bible School. We're probably going to rename it because this is like VBS on steroids. Like, it's just this absolute pandemonium. It's crazy. We have such a wonderful time with this, but there are so many people in the community that come to this event. They come and put their kids in our Vacation Bible School, 266 kids as a part of this ministry. To give you a little bit of an insight, this is four times the amount of kids we have on a normal basis that come here and are influenced. And it's just it's a huge community event that comes in. Friend and Family Day is another huge event that we have that we invite people, invite our friends, invite our family to be able to come here. We had 763 folks in attendance, a 32% increase above our normal average of what we normally run. So a lot of folks from the community coming and being ministered to. Our plan going forward is to continue developing our sports ministry. You know, we started that Upward Soccer League, but we have a basketball league that's right at the beginning stages of taking off. We have a softball ministry. We won first place this last time, and some of us are excited about that, but we're excited. If you're interested in being involved in that sports ministry, you see Brother Julius, see myself. We want to be able basketball. We were able to see two people saved this last year. We've seen folks be coming into the body life of the church because of the soccer ministry. There's many things we desire to do by way of our community to continue making an impact there. And so this is really what's happening centrally within our church, what's happening locally outside the walls of our church in our community. But then we're really excited. Pastor talked about it earlier, things that are happening globally, beyond our doorstep, beyond our reach even. God has given us such a gracious opportunity to be able to have an impact worldwide. We support 43 missionaries in 29 different countries. We raised $12,000 for a church plant in Nicaragua. We sent $18,000 to a flood-ravaged church in Louisiana. Some of you will remember that. We had a team from our church that went to the Dominican Republic. It was really neat. Pastor went all the way to Africa. You know, we've been able to see God do wonderful things, and we praise Him for it. Our church was able to contribute over $100,000 to missions alone. Money that came in and went right out for work outside of this community. I mean, just work to go to the foreign field, and we're so thankful for that. How is all that possible, right? What does that look like? What is a picture of how that could possibly be? I'm going to tell you, we are 100% supported through grace giving, through people that are giving above their tithes and offerings and are saying, I want to be a part of the kingdom work. I want to be a part of what God's doing globally. There's a missions card in the seat back pocket in front of you. If you're not a part of it, I encourage you, take that thing out and say, I'm going to be plugged into missions. I'm going to be part of that, reaching other people around the world with the gospel and being generous with our giving to folks around the world. Our plan going forward is to raise more funds and be generous with our resources so that we don't keep it here, but we give it away. We want to be a giving church, a generous church that is about other people. We want to have more trips realized, going on trips, being missions-minded. We're putting things together now to look at going to Nicaragua. If you're interested in a construction mission trip to Nicaragua. We're putting some details together now. If you're interested, please let me know more details coming on that. We have a house behind the front building up there that we're looking to acquire and wanting to be able to use that to be able to expand what we're doing for missions and for discipleship and so forth. There's a lot of different opportunities that we have to be able to expand and to grow here at home, in our community, and globally. To all of this report, we say to God be the glory, right? Amen. All of these things that are here, the final component of the report, we don't make a whole lot of because really it's the last thing of significance that should matter. The financial summary at the very back of the report is just that, it's a summary. The full document is some 12 pages, and the budget is about the same. It's an equivalent to that. As always, any church member desiring to see the full report can set an appointment, and I'd love to be able to share God's blessings with you, and we could walk through that. You can see all of the various figures and expenses all throughout those two pages. God provided every bit of money needed to be able to see his work go forth. So wonderful, wonderful thing. Something to take note of is we had an individual, it's noted on their charitable estate gift. There was a lady in our church that was reached in 1980, in the 1980s. She trusted Christ as her Savior, came for a couple of weeks, and then left and was gone for decades. It's a long story that I can't get into now, but it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. She came back a couple years ago and said, "That's the church that reached me all those many years ago." And she said, "I want everything I have to go towards the church so that they can continue reaching people that are hurt and are away from God like I was." And praise God for her investment into the ministry. Her love gift allowed us to be able to have this this positive cash flow. It put us over $1 million for the first time ever, over $1 million that we were able to receive. And if you're interested in leaving a legacy gift like that, we would love to be able to talk with you about that. We'd love to be able to let you know how your impact can make a difference long after you're gone. But in the meantime, while you're living, God wants you to be generous now, right? Don't wait. Yeah, the church can have part of my life insurance policy. That's, you know. There is within that annual report something I want to draw your attention to. It is this insert that says, "Would you consider taking the 1% challenge? Would you consider doing that? Whatever it is that you're giving, would you be willing to give 1% more?" If you're not giving it all, you say, I can give 1%. You could follow that spreadsheet, that schematic on the top and say, man, if our total income of our household is $50,000 and I'm not giving anything at all, I could give 1%. Could you trust God for 1%? I can give $42 a month. I could do that. Look at your giving and where you're at and say, could we give 1%? If you're already giving some, it's broken down into three categories, and I have to hurry here. It's step in. We want to begin to give at least something, to give 1% to of our income by investing in the lives of people in our community and around the world. If you're already giving something, we want to give you a manageable step to say, I'm already giving something, but I want to now step up. I want to step up my involvement wherever it is that you may find yourself on that piece of paper to say, I can give one more percent. If you're giving 6%, I can give 7%. I can give 8%, I can give 9%. Look and see how you can trust God for just one more percent. Step in, step up, and then finally step out. Now, this doesn't mean leave the church, right? This is not that. But step out by way of your faith. Some of you are already giving to the ministry, but would you be willing to say, I'm already giving, I'm already tithing, but I'm going to give one more percent. I'm going to give and step up in this way. There's lots of ways to donate. We've got things there on the back so you can see all the different ways that you'd be able to donate. We live in an increasingly cashless society. So, there's some electronic means there if that's more of something that is helpful for you. All of these numbers, they have a cost. They have an investment. People sacrificed. People gave. And I hope that you will be a part, continuing to go forward, of being a people that are giving, that are growing, not just of your money, it's important, but give of your whole person, your time, your talents, how God's blessed you, and of your treasure, that we would be willing to step up and make this 1% challenge. May we all be willing to be investments into God's great kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pastor's going to come. Can we give God the glory again one more time for everything he's done? Amen.
It's exciting, isn't it? It's amazing. Lots of information on there. And as you can tell by now, here's the truth. It doesn't matter how good you're doing, how well you're doing, there's always room for improvement. Some of you may say, well, there's some things I'd like to see improved. Guess what? Me too. How many of you know we're not perfect? That means you too, right? Okay. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to use those same three words that Pastor Micah just mentioned, and they are the skeleton of my outline today. They are what I want to share with the church. And so I want you to start out by taking note in your handout by writing these two words down. Step in. When we think about the church increasing more and more and exalting, I want to remind us all of something in here this morning. You and you and you and you and your family and me and the Adams family, okay? We are the church. Amen? Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Okay? You are the church. Don't fall into the trap of thinking, well, somebody else is going to serve in the nursery. No. You're going to serve in the nursery. Someone else is going to do the offering. Someone else is going to do the music. Somebody else. This is our church. How many of you have ever been in your house and you've walked by and you saw the trash was full or the yard need cut or the car's dirty or the house needs dusted or dinner needs prepared or the yard needs fixed or there's a hole in the wall or there's something and you look at that project, whatever it is, that thing, whatever it is, and you think to yourself, I wonder who's going to do that. Ready? It's you. These are God's properties. We are to be wise stewards. And this is his church. We are his people. I want to encourage you today, step in somewhere. Step in and step away from the things that have been holding you back. You see, it's impossible to exalt Christ and excel in your faith while sitting on the fence. You cannot be a fence dweller in Christianity. Some of us need to say, you know, this is the year I'm going to step into ministry. I'm going to find a place and serve Jesus Christ. There are to be no spectators in the church, only participators. I've read the Bible a lot. I cannot find where it says, thou shalt sit in the pew. If you are not serving somewhere, if you are not giving, step in somewhere. Find a place. Don't miss out on the joy. I've been a pastor for a long time. I've been in ministry 20 plus years. And I hear people say this, well, we don't really know anybody in the church. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Might change your life. Do you want to build meaningful relationships? Do you want to get to know people? Do you want to have friendships? Find a ministry, plug in, serve, and get to know the people in that pocket of community where you're serving. Amen. Shoulder to shoulder, say, we're going to do this together. We're going to serve Jesus. We're going to get in the children's ministry. I'm going to start being involved in the sound ministry. I'm going to start driving. I'm going to do something and connect. Listen, loved ones, we as the church are God's plan for reaching the entire world. There's no new thing coming. There's no new plan being issued. We are it. And to stay on the fence is disobedience. Step in and start impacting lives. There's four things you have to understand. This is for the extra credit workers in here, okay? How do you step in? You step in with your time. You step in with your talent. Some of you're so good. Some of you play an instrument and you ought to be up here. You know who you are. Some of you can sing. You should be in the choir. Some of you love children. You ought to be working with children. Your treasures. I like what Pastor Micah said. Don't wait till you're dead. Okay? But I want to give you the fourth one. Your touch. Somebody needs you to invest into their life. And I want to challenge you with this statement. whose life are you planning to impact in 2017? How will your life be used to touch the life of someone else? Where will you step in? Maybe all you're going to do this year is say, you know, I'm going to stand at the back. I'm going to put a great big smile on my face. I'm going to say, good morning, welcome to Faith Baptist Church, and I'm going to hand out a bulletin. Bam! That's right. That's all you got to do. Maybe you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to take the offering. We don't frisk people here. You know that? You don't need a degree, you know, but you can take the offering. Maybe say, you know what? I need to blow the dust off of my guitar. I need to tune up my instrument. Maybe your greatest instrument's your voice that you're not using for Jesus. Sitting out there thinking, well, I don't really know, you know. Yeah, choir's a commitment. Welcome to Christianity. Following Christ is a commitment. You got to step in somewhere. You should ask yourself right now, what ministry am I actually involved in? Whose life am I going to impact? I got to step in somewhere. I'm going to help you. There's a two-step process to figuring out where you should serve. Here's the first one. You ready? Pray about it. What's the first one?
Pray.
Ready? Second one. Pick one. So you're like, I've been praying. You've been praying for years. Pick one. If it's not right, God will let you know. You'll find the next one. Pray and say, God, where? And then say, okay, well, here we go. I'm going to go do this. Now, listen, don't pray you'll have a wonderful voice. If you don't have a great voice, God's not going to bless you overnight. Be a blessing and don't join the choir, okay? Find somewhere else. Amen?
Amen.
So step in. Second one, step up. Part of our church and exalting Christ is the continued development of leaders. Next Sunday night, Pastor Denver, we brought him here for several things. One of the main things that we brought him here was not just for children's ministry, which has been where the bulk of his focus has been recently, but it's also to help us continue on in the development of disciples in our church. Let me tell you something. Discipleship is not a ministry of the church. It's the mission of the church. It's not some appendage. It's not some little side ministry we're supposed to be doing. One of our deacons, Todd Wara, helped us get this whole thing going, and it's grown to the point that we realize now we need pastoral oversight on a full-time basis to manage this, and part of his responsibility is to do this. And next Sunday night, he's going to be here casting a vision, reigniting discipleship. I want to bring a quote onto the screen. I want you to read it with me nice and loud. Here we go. Ready? A disciple is one who knows and follows Jesus, is becoming more and more like Jesus, and is leading the lost and saved closer to Jesus. That's a disciple. And guess what? That's you. That's me. You ought to ask yourself, am I in a disciple-making relationship? Am I being used of God to impact people? The classroom that is upstairs next to the upper room, when you go into out these doors and you go upstairs, there's a room up there we use for prayer, and it's a meeting place, and the pastors meet in there a lot. Right next to that, there's another room. We're cleaning that whole room out. It's been storage. We're turning that into a room to where we can do training for discipleship, for leadership, for growth group leaders. That whole room is getting flipped around. We want to give you every opportunity to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. And not just there, but even in your growth groups. You see, some of you say, well, I don't want a disciple because I don't know all the answers in the Bible. Okay, here's the thing, right? Ready? Shock, horror, the pastor doesn't know all the answers. I guarantee you my staff members don't know all the answers. But I know where a lot of them are. And if you've been in church for any length of time, hear me carefully, you have more knowledge than the disciples themselves did before Jesus sent them out on the Great Commission. You know more about this book than they did. If you've been in church for 5 or 6 years, you ought to have somebody that you're saying, I'm pouring into, I'm investing into this person. You say, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what that looks like. Okay, we're going to provide an avenue for you to know what that looks like, whether it's in a small group, whether it's one-on-one, or whether it's in a classroom setting. As our church expands, we're going to need some of you to step up to greater areas of leadership and service and deepen your commitment to our church and say, listen, it's about time I start, you fill in the blank. It's about time I lead a class. It's about time I become a growth group leader. It's about time I start teaching a class with children. It's about time I go work in the teens. It's about time I need to step up and be a small group leader. I can do this. This is what God wants me to do. I don't just want to step in. I want to step up. Now, one of the things I'll tell you is that as our church grows, as our ministry expands, I'm going to be the first to tell you this. As a pastor, I know this firsthand. I was in a pastor's home, raised in a pastor's home in the back half of my years, and have raised two boys who are now men in a pastor's home. I can tell you, ministry takes a drain on all of us. And while we understand that church is important, and I don't want to minimize that, and you're hearing this from your pastor, church is important. Can I get a witness? Okay. We have to be careful because we cannot neglect our families. And so with everything happening, one of the things that the pastoral staff prayed over and we said, you know what we're going to do? We have life groups once a month that meets and you take your family and you go somewhere. But once a month, we're going to put together, each pastor's taking a turn, we are handwriting personally, fresh, a personal devotion that we're going to give you one Sunday a month, and that evening will be designed for you and your family to be home together, to worship together as a family, to have prayer and Bible study together, to create conversation, to create community, and to share with you and your family, to have time together. We cannot forsake the family. Let me remind the church something. God ordained the family before he ordained the church. Our church is only going to be as strong as our families. And so one Sunday night a month, that's not a night for you to pack something else extra into your calendar, okay? That'll be the night for you to say, you know what, honey, we're going to gather around the table. If you're in choir, you'll still go to choir practice at 4, but 6, 7, 8 o'clock, whatever that schedule looks like for you, you will sit down with your family. And by the way, all the men, where's all the men? All the men, raise your hand. Some of you men aren't raising your hand. I'm really nervous right now. You need to lead the way in this. You heard what Ben from Life Action said. Men, you need to step up. And you say, we're going to have devotion. Maybe you don't have family devotion. This is your night. This is your entry point. This is your starting point. And then lastly, we're going to step out. Now, some of you are going to freak out. Micah said, don't leave the church. I'm going to actually counter that. I want you to leave the church, but I don't want you to move your membership, okay? You know, if you do move your membership, you'll be in sin, but we'll forgive you, okay? What I mean by leave the church is leave the walls of the church. Some of you need to get out. The danger, I'm going to unzip my heart and be transparent with you for a minute. I don't know any other way to say it. I've prayed on it. I'm just going to say it. I believe the way the Spirit of God is leading me to say it right now. One of my biggest worries for our church, if you want to know what I'm concerned about for our church, I'm worried that we get too comfortable, that we become introverted, self-centered, and focused on us. We are not here for us. We are here to reach this community for Jesus Christ. Some of you said, well, what's going to happen when the building over there and that first service is full? You know what I've learned after 9 years of being here? God never shows me the end of a thing. He just shows me the beginning. Amen? Amen. Okay, he's not going to do that. All I know is, and I'm going to pick on Pastor Micah for a second. We've had some interesting meetings, he and I. And there'll be many times where we'll say, but what about this at the end? What about this at the end? And I'm like, dude, I don't know. Here's our relationship. I'm like, here's what we're going to do. And I'm like, we can do that, right, Micah? He's like, yep, we can do that, Pastor. Yep. Here's the point. Here's what we're learning, and here's what the church needs to understand. We're not always going to see the end of a thing, but God's going to let us be a part of something exciting in the beginning of a thing, okay? So let me encourage you. We will never impact the world by staying put. Some of you need to go to the soup kitchen. Listen up. Once a month, on a Saturday, third Saturday of the month, we go down to a soup kitchen down here, about 5 miles from here, less. There's people who live in the woods, sleeping under cars. They come out. We cook the food. We feed the people. Are you listening? They will never come into the doors of this church. We as the church need to go on mission and reach them. Some of you need to come to 111. Some of you need to go tell Micah as soon as church is over, I'm going to Nicaragua. Next year, we're going to Romania. Some of you need to say, I'm in. So I don't know how I'm going to get the money. Step in, step up, step out. You need to understand, church. We have to continue to get outside the walls of this church. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he wasn't worried if his disciples were clever, if they were comfortable, if they had all the things they needed in order and what we would consider today to be successful, they had the one thing. They had his commission and they had his presence. And we as the church, we gather together. Nowhere in the Bible does it say how many times and how often. We gather together. We do that every Sunday and we worship. We grow together, right? And then what do? We go.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.